Let's pray. Thank you so much, God, for what you're doing here already this morning. Thank you for the worship time. And Father, we pray as Steve shares here, just that it would be you speaking to each one of us. Give us open hearts and open just spirits to receive what you're talking, what you're speaking to us today. We pray that your word would take root and grow in each one of our hearts as Steve shares, and just bless him, give him strength and courage to deliver what you've given him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did you want to hold it or do you want to?
Something like that. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Is he worthy? And then, are we worthy to come back to him? When I think about what I'm the most grateful for, I'm going to tell you a couple stories, and I think you'll get it. I am so grateful for God and the advantage that I have in life to know that there's a God in control. He made me. He knows my desires. He even knows what makes me happy, literally. He knows the way he made us. It's amazing. I'm thankful for God. And just the knowledge to know that God is in control just kind of settles life. It's amazing. On March the 23rd, I woke up in the morning. I think it was March the 23rd. And I listened. I live right beside the Pennsylvania Turnpike. So when I wake up in the morning, it's zoom, zoom, zoom. And then a truck is whoom, that one goes. This morning, I woke up. It was quiet. After a bit, a car and a truck. It was surreal. This was the Monday morning that nobody was supposed to go to work, and I was at home. I have about 50 people working for me. That means there's a lot of pieces moving around. This was a real deal for me to try and figure out with inventory and with all this kind of stuff. I was talking to one of my friends in Italy on a pretty much a weekly basis, and they were right up there in that northern part of Italy where people were dying by the thousands. Just, they were like maybe 3 weeks or 4 weeks pre-America. It was, seemed like it hit Italy and the UK as well. And of course, I don't have friends in China, so I didn't know much about China. It was a little apprehensive. You know, you hear these stories and, you know, the way people are dying and all this kind of stuff. And, okay, maybe I'll live through this, maybe I won't. Well, I'll tell you something. Today I'm amused. I'm amused. It's interesting. My insurance representative called me last week and he said, we had a meeting scheduled, and he said, my wife really doesn't want me to come in. She's afraid of me picking up this crazy virus. And I'm like, Tom, you know what? The only people that die from this virus are the people that panic and are afraid of it. And it's almost true. I mean, you look at the stories early on in the hospitals in New York City and places like that, where they really panicked. I mean, they had people die by the thousands. It was crazy. And today we have more cases than we did this six, 7 months ago. And you look at the death chart, and then they pull out the data and they say, you know, there really hasn't, more people died from the flu in 2020 than what they did in 2019. And what I'm saying by this is sometimes when you're encountered with this kind of crazy stuff, you have to sit back and you say, and this is where I say I'm thankful about God. God is totally in control. God gives me life as long as he wants, and God takes it away at his timing. So all the panic, forget it. And then again, like I told you, sometimes I have to come back to my senses, and I'm like, Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy. Thank you. I'm going to tell you a story about my really, really good friend. In fact, I would call him one of my boys. And I'm going to tell you this story stretches about maybe 5 or 6 years or something like that. But it's very interesting to me to watch him and the confirmation that his story has given me that God is in control and God is so amazing. He is amazing. Him and I both were raised in a Christian environment. But at about 18, 19, he decided he's going to go out and live his life. Good friend all the way through. Still bosom friend. We can speak for hours. He's great. And he did. He moved to the UK, and he lived it up. Party, drinking, girls, and he's a really a party kid. I mean, he can dance, and he's, you know, he's a really cool dude. And he lived it up. About 3 years later, after, you know, all this partying thing kind of wears off after a while, and it kind of gets kind of dull. And I saw him become, like, kind of man up, you know, like, he's becoming more responsible with his job. He's just, you know, like, it seems like his senses are coming together a little bit more. And he even started a business. So now he had the party life. Now he has a business. He asked to borrow some money to run his business, and I didn't really help him out. But he's brilliant. And he did an amazing job. Within a couple years, he was worth, you know, he went from nothing to maybe being worth $500,000 or something like that, which is like incredible for this young kid. And in the meantime, he picked up this girlfriend, he started this relationship with his girlfriend, and she's beautiful. I know her well, I've met her many times. And she's brilliant. So she's like a financial thing, and he runs his business, and they do a pretty neat partnership. As far as running their business, his girlfriend, which the relationship, we won't talk about that. But so now he has money and he's tried the party thing and life is moving pretty good for him. He's wealthy. He has a good business. He has a lot of respect. He has a good girlfriend. Life is moving pretty good. And I get this feeling that he still wasn't satisfied with life. Anyhow, about 3 years ago, I think it was his girlfriend handed him a book, and he started reading about, I don't know what it was. I don't even know what the book was, but he started reading. And all of a sudden, he started to think about life and what it's all about. So the reading, and he's brilliant. He retains information like incredible. He starts reading, and now the next thing he does, he starts reading about religion. You know, remember, he party life, freedom, here we go. We got it. He started reading about religion, and I could tell he from talking to him that he studied atheism, evolution, just all kinds of religions, and you know, he's like, what I really think his goal was is to persuade himself that there's no God. Look, if I can persuade myself there's no God, I am for sure set. I've really got freedom. About 2 years ago, this is really interesting, I keep hearing some rumblings, and he starts calling me. He calls me on a Friday afternoon, and he starts talking about, he didn't really want to tell me what happened, but what really happened is he went out and he got drunk, and he was driving his car home late at night, and he's going in his street to where he lives, and he hit about 6 or 7 or 8 cars. He was drunk. And on top of that, once the cops showed up, he ran away from them, and he ends up in jail for the night. So now you got money, you got party, you got drinking, and all this kind of stuff. And this one Friday, he calls me, and he talks for like an hour. He's just talking and talking and talking. I could tell he's just terrified. He lost his driver's license. He was thrown in jail. And on top of that, he lost his girlfriend, which he was with for 5 years, which was like, if you live in a relationship for 5 years, it's more than just, you know, it's emotional. There's a lot connected to this. Saturday, he called me again. So he called me again, talked, I believe, another hour on that Saturday. His world was falling apart. And the interesting thing is, by now he's discovered or persuaded himself that there's no God. He's good, right? He's good to go. I mean, there's no God, and I even have had conversations with him, you know, like about God, and it's like, you know, if by chance, and we have this kind of interesting relationship, he doesn't believe in God, and I, you know, I give him a little bit about God here and there, and he'll say this, okay, maybe, you know, if there is no God, okay, whatever, you know, I believe it, it's, you know, if there is, but I'm like, I have this one phrase that I like to use with him, and that is like, you know, if at the end of life, I live my life for God, and if there is an eternity, and if there is a heaven and a hell, man, you're in trouble. You're literally in trouble. And you know what? Even if I'm completely fooled and there's no God, I'm okay. I've got a pretty good insurance plan, I think so. And you know, one time he said, you know, you probably do have a pretty good insurance plan at the end of the day. But okay, now he's pretty much persuaded himself there's no God, and his world falls apart. He does drugs, he does drinking, he does, you know. And I'm using this whole story as like, okay, now and then I see him continue to search, and he's still kind of trying to research. And as time progresses, he kind of discovers, you know what? This thing of fighting the whole religion, the Christians, you know, what he even says, told me a couple times lately that, you know, religion's kind of amazing. It makes community. It makes good people. It makes loyal people. But he's still not persuaded that he wants, you know, he wants it for himself. But as things progress, and I was at a supper with him and some friends one evening, and for 3 hours, him and a good friend of mine as well, that it's a Bible scholar. He's in college for school. So what do they call it? It's a real fancy word. I'll get it here. Apologetics? I don't really know much about apologetics, but he studies apologetics. So he knows his Bible pretty good. I mean, he speaks English and multiple languages. And my friend and him, they literally had a debate for about 3 hours that night about God, no God, and it can't be possible. And he, you know, he has this statement sometimes, how could there be a God? If there'd be a God, he'd come and help. I mean, look at all the children that are suffering in this. I mean, it can't be possible. I mean, like, God, if you're real, come down and help us. So after their three-hour conversation, you know, it was interesting. And what was really interesting to me, and I could tell he did his studies really well, is because he knew the questions he was asking. I mean, he doesn't debate with me. I know my Bible. I'm very basic. But, you know, we just have a nice, you know, calm conversation. And the other interesting thing about it, he just told me last Sunday, I think I talked to him on the phone, it's interesting that he has a mechanic that takes care of his trucks and you know, like his records and things like that. And this man's a Seventh-day Adventist, and I've met him. He's a Christian. And it's like, and I've been telling him, keep searching, you'll find. He says, you know what? That black man said the same thing. That mechanic of his said the same thing. He says, wow, it's kind of neat that you're searching. And if you search, you'll find. And I like to think that my friend will eventually find God by searching, because it's, and this is the thing that I'm so grateful for. I watched this story unfold in front of my eyes of somebody that I know really, really well. And I watch all the confusion and all the stress and everything that he goes through. And it's like, you know what? I am really blessed because I have this God thing. I believe it with all my heart. I know he cares for me, and he's going to take care of me. And if he doesn't, it's all in his plan anyways. And I can kind of close the book, and I can move on with life. While he's still struggling to discover life, I'm actually kind of closed that book, and I can move on, knowing it is well, and God is so good. That's Jeremiah 29:12. You will seek me, you'll find me, if you search for me with all your heart. And then there's a verse in Joshua that says, be strong, be of good courage, be not afraid, be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, and he goes with you wherever you go. It was Job that said, naked came I into my mother's womb, naked will I return. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be his name. He's totally in control. So if you want to know what I'm thankful for, the knowledge that God is my Lord that he knows about me and that he really cares about me. It's amazing. God bless you.